SBS Radio.
It's actually the kick-off to the Indigenous round of footballs throughout Australia. Here tonight we have the Dreamtime at the G game. We have Richmond and Essendon playing off tonight. But here, this is the kick-off of the long walk. That remember when Michael Long walked that to Canberra to try and put the Aboriginal inequalities back on the national agenda? And so this is the continued raising awareness of those issues. We all know that there are still inequalities within Aboriginal Australia, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. We know that our people die a lot younger than mainstream Australians. We know we're the most incarcerated race on the planet, to be honest with you. And we don't have treaties in this country with the First Peoples of this country. Australia's the only Commonwealth country that doesn't. And that's on an international platform every Australian should be embarrassed about. So, but what's special about this today here, the long walk, is that treaties on the agenda in Victoria.
And that's one of the reasons I actually took you away from what you are doing. And thank you very much actually to even accept getting away from your busy schedule and taking the time to talk to us today. It's about the developments with the negotiations and the process of treaty between Aboriginal Australians and the Victorian government. Tell us about these developments. How is the process going?
Well, we all know that just under 4 years ago, the Victorian government wanted to know what self-determination meant to us as Aboriginal people in Victoria. And again, the Aboriginal communities demanded treaties. And it's not a new call, we've always, right across this country. But what was new about this was that we had a state government that said, let's explore to see whether we can at a state level. At a state base, whether we can have state-based treaties. And so for the past 3.5 years, we've been working towards how do we as Aboriginal people get ourselves organised so we can negotiate treaties, who negotiates it, what's on the negotiating table, what's off. So my role as the commissioner is not to negotiate anyone's treaty. My role is to set up a process so treaties can be negotiated.
And the process is moving forward. I just saw that the stand of the Treaty Victoria. People enrolling, filling out forms. What's going on there?
Well, you know, when we went out and spoke to community about, well, we need a mechanism, how do we do that? And we know that Victoria was hit very hard with colonisation. It was very brutal and it was very quick. So our traditional way of making decisions, our traditional lifestyles, our traditional elders who can speak for country, you know, all that's been disrupted. So we have to work out a modern day, how do we negotiate with a modern government? So very early on, the community said to me, we don't want government hand-picking who speaks for us. We want to elect our own voices. So I had to set up an electoral roll, our own electoral roll, and enrolments are open, and we will elect the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria, and that will consist of 33 traditional owners from right across every mob in Victoria.
33, that's quite a lot. And where would they sit, and how is, and the next step after the election, what's going to happen?
Well, the next step then, the 33, the Assembly will come together and elect an executive. Now, they're like the engine room. They will be sitting around the negotiating table with government and they will be developing three things. The first thing they have to develop is the treaty negotiating framework. So that's the rule book. That will say there has to be multiple treaties, not one, because we're never one big mob. We're multiple clans. So treaties need to recognise that. And that rule book will allow local clans to negotiate their own treaties. But the rule book should also look at some statewide benefits that all Aboriginal people in Victoria would benefit from, all Victorians would benefit from. So that's the treaty negotiating framework. The Assembly also has to develop the self-determination fund, what that's going to look like and what's it for. Then they also have to establish the treaty authority. So that's going to be like the independent umpire. So once we have treaties being negotiated under that framework, the umpire is going to make sure that government stay committed and don't renege like they did in the Batman Treaty.
That's exactly the thing that surprised me. I saw how there was a passionate debate between you and a participant in the event here discussing the validity of the Batman Treaty and all that. The debate is pretty rife in the community.
Oh, of course it is. Especially in our communities, in the Aboriginal community, it's the debate is there. We have never, in the history of this country, been so close to achieving treaties. I think it was Bob Hawke, when he first came into office, the late Bob Hawke, who just passed away, he put treaties on the table. He promised treaty. But what we got ended up with is reconciliation, and that's a good thing. But we now need to take it one step further. We need to be able to have treaties. We, as the first peoples of this country, that recognition needs to be there, and compensation needs to be there, and the sharing of one of the oldest living cultures in the world to all Australians needs to be there. And treaties can achieve all that.
Is that compensation you're talking about will be part of the fund? You just mentioned that there will be a fund, or is it like a...
I don't know. I can't predict what's going to be in that fund, but if I was working it out, what I would be saying is that fund is there to help communities get organised, because it would be a disaster if government are all ready to negotiate on the government side of things and our communities are not ready. So that self-determination fund's vital to get our communities ready so they can negotiate their treaties. But no, compensation would be in the form of land, but no one's private land, by the way. There's a disclaimer here. Under the treaty process, private land is not on the agenda. And there's other ones.
You're stolen land.
Sorry?
Stolen land.
It is stolen land. Of course it is. We know that. But we can't undo 230 years of settlements on private property. I mean, how would it look if I went to your home and said, sorry, you got to go back?
I would need to be compensated.
Exactly. But what we want to look at is, it is about that land. It has to be about land. It has to be about economic empowerment and economic independence for Aboriginal communities. It has to be about truth-telling. I don't think this country should continue to sweep the truth under the carpet. The truth needs to come out, and it needs to be told. And we as Aboriginal people need to be able to tell the truth. So everyone, the whole world, should get to hear it.
Hence the representation, just to our body to speak for the First Nations people.
Exactly, spot on.
Thank you very much. But is there anything we haven't spoken about that you think we should add to this conversation?
I just wanted to leave it on a real positive note. I mean, treaties have been achieved overseas. And countries haven't gone broke because they've had treaties with their first peoples. And countries haven't lost power because they've had treaties with their first peoples. If anything, those countries are richer, and those citizens of those countries are even richer to know Indigenous cultures.
It's like closure after a bad event. People
yes.
need to make closure and make a new start.
Yes, totally agree.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.